Take your Bibles this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Scott, my sound tack all right, working good? Fantastic. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We live in a day and age where the church has lost itself. Don't know what is up, what is down. And I think this morning in the Sunday school hour, we laid some foundations. I'd like to come back and build upon that. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you notice in verses 1 and 2, you'll see some preaching that pleases God. In verses 3 and 4, you'll see some preaching that pleases man. So you have two parts there. Verses 1 and 2 is what God wants. Verses 3 and 4 is what man wants. And that's always the tension in our lives, is it not? The tension of doing what we want to do or what God wants us to do. And what should we choose? What God wants us to do. And how many of us have chosen what we want to do? And that's always the tension between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. Hopefully you have found 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 now, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto, what's the word? Fables. Let's pray. Lord, help me. Lord, as I preach your word today, help us to hear and to heed your truth. Lord, I would pray that you would work in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and change our lives. Help us to realize what is taking place in our own country, in our own churches, and also realize what you desire, what you demand. May we always follow your way. We pray it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. Preaching that pleases man. If there was a neon sign in this passage here that I just read, if there was a neon sign that is blasting at us, it's this: preach the word. Preach the word. If there's one thing that I teach all of our preacher boys down in Medora, is to preach the word of God. You get out of the way. You decrease. Lift up Christ and preach the word. Notice it says in verse 2 that you need to be instant. That means like a microwave, you need to be ready. It says here, in season and out of season, when it is popular, when it is not popular. A lot of the things of the Word of God today in America is not popular preaching, and so many people avoid that because they don't want to be unpopular. So we need to have preachers who will preach in season and out of season. And then notice, if you will, that they need the kind of tone of preaching. It says here three words: reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now, when you look at those three words, the first two are negative, and the third one is positive, but today's mantra in today's world is always be positive in your preaching. Give a positive entirety to your message. Don't say anything negative. Don't say anything that hurts people's feelings, and please don't step on anybody's toes. You know how difficult that is for a pastor to try to go through a landmine of the Word of God and not step on anything that's negative? Yet we have the tone of preaching right here in this passage. Exhort, that's the encouraging word. The preaching is to encourage, but you see two other words. You see the word reprove, that word means to unmask. You see the word rebuke, that word means to warn. And so it's important that the preacher preach the word, and that he is to do that with all long suffering, with patience, and also notice he's to do that with doctrine. And then what are the reasons for this preaching? Why should we preach like this? Well, number one, if you look in verse 1, the preacher is accountable to who? He's accountable to God. That's why he ought to preach the word of God, because he's accountable to God. But notice in verse 3, the Bible says for, or because, a reason here. The time will come when they will not endure what? There's a time coming when church people are going to have some ear problems. And verse 3 and verse 4 teach us the response of what I call nominal Christians to the preaching of God's Word. Notice in verse 3, there's four things. Notice number 1, they will not endure. You see that? Notice number 2, they shall heap to themselves. Notice number 3 in verse 4, they shall turn away. You see that? And then fourthly, they're going to turn unto what? Fables. So there's a fourfold response of what I call nominal believers. Now you say, why do you call these people nominal Christians? Nominal means in name only. In name only. A nominal Christian does what he wants to do instead of what God wants him to do. And so verse 3 describes people, listen now, who were under, they were under the sound of preaching, and being under that preaching, the Bible says, they leave it. They abandon it. They walk away from it. That's what the Bible teaches. They don't want to hear it, if you will. So we are talking about professing Christians. Notice the first thing it says. It says they will not endure. Eventually, they will come to the place where they will reject solid Bible preaching. They will not, notice the word, endure. Listen, when you're under preaching, when you're sitting in preaching, there is an endurance that comes with it, is there not? Huh? There's an endurance mentally. How many of you folks, you've been under the preaching of God's Word and your mind is somewhere else? Raise your hand. Come on now. Some of you right now, your minds are out in left field. How many of you folks, you have had to physically endure a message and you physically, you're having a hard time keeping your eyes open? See, there is an endurance to preaching. There is an endurance mentally and physically, but there's also an endurance spiritually. And this is where this takes place. Okay, I'm hearing God's Word. I'm mentally alert. I'm physically alert. And now I need to be spiritually alert so that when the Word of God comes to me, I make the change. I make the application where? In my life. So that when we come into the building and when we leave, God has spoken to our hearts and we've made some decisions and we don't come in and leave the same way that we come in. We go out different. And that's the power of the Word of God. Now, notice it says here, they will not endure, notice the word now, they will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound there means healthy preaching, healthy teaching. The word sound means healthy, and it comes from the word, and we get this word from this word, the word hygiene. Did moms and dads teach about hygiene very much to kids? What are we always trying to get our kids to do when it comes to hygiene? Brush your teeth and do what else? And take a bath, right? The basic things of hygiene. I don't know why it is, but young boys, for some odd reason, they don't like to get in the water. They like to swim, but they don't want to shower or take a bath. I don't understand that. They think it's great the longer they go without taking a bath. And it's kind of like, hey, I've been 5 days. I've been a week. I haven't taken a bath. Hygiene. Sound, healthy preaching. Sound healthy. And Timothy and all preachers and teachers after him were to be true, they're to be true to God's Word. To the sacred writings, you see that back over in chapter 3 here, verses 15 and 16, and to the God-breathed Scripture. When we see this little phrase, preach the Word, this is the mandate for all of God's preachers, not just Timothy. Amen? It is because the Bible contradicts and assails ungodly living that the Bible has become unacceptable and intolerable to those who want to persist in sin. So those who are contrary or who are living contrary to the Bible, they resent and they resist the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They want their sin more than they want the Word of God. Now, why will people not endure sound preaching? Why won't they endure it? Well, number one, if there's a preacher who is preaching God's Word, he is confronting and rebuking sin. And the last place a sinner wants to be is under that kind of preaching. And people who love sinful lifestyles will not tolerate biblical preaching. These people won't stand up for it. They won't stand for it. They will find someone who doesn't demand so much of their mind, so much of their will, so much of their body. They will leave the sound doctrine, and then they will give some excuses for why they're leaving the sound doctrine. They will say, the pastor, he doesn't really love me. The pastor, he really doesn't care for me. Now, those sound like terrible things, don't they? And yet oftentimes we've heard those very things. Oh, the pastor, he shouts too much. He's too loud and he's too long. And so the other church people go, well, he does shout a little bit. Yeah, he is too long. So maybe I need to go too. Not realizing that the core of the reason that they have oftentimes said those kind of things is because they want to reject healthy, sound preaching because of the way they want to live. And we are oftentimes duped by that. What happens to people who will not endure sound doctrine? Notice it says in verse 3 what's going to happen to them. They will, after their own lust, do what? Take a look at verse 3. What are they going to do? They're going to heap to themselves what? Teachers. Now, this is a picture of you and I. This is a picture now of something I've seen here in Nebraska. It's called a scoop shovel. You guys know what I'm talking about? A scoop shovel. You're talking about one of these shovels that's this wide, that got little edges on it, and it ain't too long, and I watched him use it over in his barn one day. Because, you know, when you clean out them big tall, what do you call them big silver cans you got up here? Elevators? What are them things called? Is that what it's called? What is it called? Bins? You call them things grain bins? Huh, that's a new one on me. But anyhow, when you get that thing empty, right, you take and sweep it out and use one of them shovels to finish it up. Scoop shovel. And so that's the word heap here, as you see it in this verse. They shall heap, they shall scoop shovels to themselves, teachers having itching ears. And it says here, according to their own lusts, their own private desires, their own preferences, their own personal cravings, they will bring these kind of people to themselves. Not surprisingly, therefore, such nominal Christians will accumulate to themselves ungodly teachers in accordance with their own desires. Now listen, I want to say something. If people desire a calf to worship, C-A-L-F, if they'll desire a cow to worship, a ministerial calf maker can be found. He can be found in this country. This undermines Christianity to make the consumer, and that's the churchgoer, right? That's a pew sitter, to make the consumer satisfied. Our whole market, this free market that we have, is all about pleasing the eye and catching the taste of an individual to cause them to consume what they have. And the church has come into the same place that we are consumer-driven. Make it appealing, make it taste good, make it feel good, and therefore we'll have people who come to our church. And this has gone into the pulpit and into the preaching of God's Word. They want a religion that will not disrupt their selfish lifestyles. So pastors and churches, they've understood this craving, they've understood this philosophy, and they have created the new American church slogan, "Welcome all to Burger King Bible Church, where you can have it your way." Or, "Welcome to Baskin Robbins Bible Church, and you can have it in 31 different flavors. We'll give you this kind of church on Saturday morning and this kind of church on Saturday night and three kinds of different churches on Sunday morning, and we're sure to please everybody with the kind of services that we're offering. Some for the old folks, some for the young folks, some for the middle-aged folks, some a little bit of this, some a little bit of that. We're going to make sure we aim to please." This is where we're at. You folks are boring. You only got one flavor here. So modern methodology, and there is a method to this madness. Modern methodology has turned into contemporary theology. That's what's happened. And the church has been made, let me say it this way, the church has been made more palatable, if you will, to lost people. The church has become worldly. And the whirlwinds of compromise are swirling, but I'm saying to you and I that God is not pleased. There is no room in this entire passage to give people what they want. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 here is the biblical method of preaching. And our church beliefs and our church living standards, we must draw them from the Scriptures, not from the society, and certainly not from our culture. The Bible says they'll seek out, they'll heap to themselves teachers of whom many are always available, are they not? These teachers will tell them what they want to hear. These nominal Christians do this because they have a disease. The Bible says they have itching ears. It refers to the people here. They have itching ears. The Bible says they are looking. See, they're not loyal. They're not committed. They're looking. They're looking. They're looking. What makes people's ears itch, if you will? Some of you are allergic to poison ivy. How many of you? Okay. What are you not supposed to do when you get poison ivy? Why? What happens when you do that? It spreads. And then what do you do? Then what do? You scratch more. This is what happens. The itching ear. It starts a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and it just keeps going. They keep scratching. And before you know it, they were under sound preaching, and now they're a little bit unhealthy. They're a little bit more unhealthy, and now they're totally unhealthy. And this is where you see this whole gamut of churches today. Whole gamut. From over here to way out there. Come in, let's bless your cats and your dogs today. Let's have some holy laughter for the church service. I mean, you guys would be surprised. I know you're in Nebraska and you lost out here in the middle of nowhere. Of course, Kansas is the same way. But I've got a friend who's been looking for a solid church in a large city for 4.5 months. And almost every weekend he'll call me. He says, I went to a new church today that had a decent look to it, and you won't believe what they're doing on the inside. 2 weeks ago he was in a church that they put smoke out of the ceilings. And they had this smoke coming out of the ceilings and then coming down on top of the crowd. I'm telling you, this stuff's going on in American day churches, my dear friends. Every week he says, you won't believe what happened today. I don't know where he's going today, but I'm sure I'll get a report this afternoon. Because he's looking for a Bible preaching, Bible believing, gospel preaching church. He can't find it in a large city. This is where we're at. People are looking for something that agrees with them. Now listen to what the Old Testament said, Jeremiah. An appalling and horrible thing is committed in the land. A horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their own means or their own way. And my people, anybody know the rest of it? Love to have it so. They love the false prophesying and they love the priests running their own business without paying any attention to God. And the people love it this way. Now notice the dangerous condition the people come to, because in verse 4 the Bible says they shall turn their ears away from the what? Listen, when you turn your ears away from truth, you're turning your ears away, listen now, from reality. From reality. Now you're living in a dream world. We have churches full today. I mean full. They're busting at the brims, yet they are on their way to a devil's hell because they've never been born again. They've never been saved. Church is packed. And if you're not saved and you die without Christ, where do you end up? Not in heaven. Ultimately, when you look at this verse, they will be victims and devoid of truth. They won't know the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They have left the truth for myths. And this has happened in our church. This is happening today in our church. The church has lost its tolerance for biblical preaching, and the church is in serious doctrinal error. Serious doctrinal error. The church has thrown its arms open wide and they have embraced all viewpoints, open minds, open doors, and open hearts. We accept all and anything. The churches have gone now from teaching and preaching. They've got a new word if you haven't heard it. It's the word dialoguing. Have you heard that word? See, I told you you're out in the middle of nowhere. You're kind of lost in all this. They're dialoguing. And they'll have a Sunday school class where they will dialogue about evolution. Well, let me help them out. God created the earth in 6 24-hour days, period. Dialogue's over, and we're done in 6 seconds. But it takes them an hour to dialogue and never come to a conclusion. Everybody has an opinion, and what everybody says, oh, we can't hurt them feelings, we can't tell them the truth, but we let everybody throw up here into the air, into the dust, whatever they think. And we walk out of here because we are people who are seeking truth. Huh. And that's what we have going on today. The modern teaching promises, listen, the modern teaching promises blessings apart from holiness. Blessings apart from following God's Word. Have you ever read the Old Testament? What happens to people who disobey God's Word? All kinds of problems. Churches ignore biblical teachings on hosts of issues. They are debating, listen, they are debating denomination-wide, they're debating permissive lifestyles. Debating it. They are debating, not only in churches, but denomination-wide, the inspiration of the Word of God. They're debating that, whether the Word of God is the Word of God. This is what they spend their time talking about. They are debating creation. They are debating salvation by Christ, in faith in Christ alone. They're debating that issue. These issues have been solved for centuries. So where the Bible has a divine standard for belief and living, God's Word is being compromised. God's Word is being thrown to the side. God's Word is being watered down. This is what's happening. And in many churches who once preached sound doctrine, evils that God's Word plainly speaks against, they are now becoming accepted in those church buildings and in those people's lives. They once were standard bearers for God's truth. And now those very evils that they preached about from that very pulpit are now proclaimed as good and holy and righteous and okay. This is where we're at. Women are ordained to ministries the Bible restricts to men. 4 out of every 10 women are ordained for the ministry today. 4 out of 10. Are those numbers going up or are they going down? Anybody know? They're going up. Adulterers and fornicators and homosexuals are not only welcomed into church, but they're allowed to preach in those pulpits. What is the Bible saying about living together before you're married? It's a sin. It's wrong. What does the Bible say about virginity? You ought to be a virgin until you get married. Amen? That's the kind of things we need to hear. That's truth. That's what our young people need to be told. Instead of receiving sound doctrine, the churches are fiercely rejecting that sound doctrine because they want their ears tickled with unbiblical notions that raise their comfortable level of living. They want something that'll justify and help them to overlook their own personal sins. And so somebody who comes to them and somebody who stands up and somebody who brings the truth to them, they're going to reject that person. They're going to say that person is intolerable, and they'll use this word, the word bigot. You ever heard of that? And that's what you are if you hold to that Bible today. Have you ever been called that before? Believe it or not, I get called that quite often. I think you understand why. That's what we are when we hold fast to truth. Now, are you ready to be called that by your friends? By your own family members? Your own family members who go to different churches, who have left and abandoned the truth, they will call you these things. They'll call you a legalist. They'll use any kind of term to throw you off the trail. I keep saying, hey, look. Don't you remember Samuel? God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. I just keep telling them, well, you can throw those words on me all you want, but what are you going to say about God? Here. No. I said, you throw those words on me, but what do you think about God? What are you saying to Him? Oh, they don't like that. And I'm not going to get in that kind of war of words about who I am and what I'm. I just want to keep sending them back to truth. Back to truth, because that's where their war is really at. It's with truth. It's the truth. Consequently, the preacher whom they least like to hear probably is the one they should be hearing. And these are all evidences of serious compromise. Now, what will they turn to? They're going to turn away from truth, the Bible says in verse 4. What shall they turn to? Fables, myths. That little phrase there means, it's from the medical field, and it means to be, or to have a dislocated joint. So the minds and hearts of those who reject God's truth become spiritually dislocated and out of joint. So who's out of joint? Who's dislocated? Those who walk away from truth. When God's truth is knowingly rejected, Satan's falsehood is inevitably and sometimes unknowingly embraced. See, when you reject God's truth, you are setting yourself to embrace Satan's lies. You understand that? So in other words, when you and I or a church rejects truth, we have made ourselves more vulnerable now, more vulnerable to Satan's devices. And many of our churches today are filled and they're overflowing with these myths, the myths of easy believism. You ever heard of that one? Now, you just pray with me, I believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're a Christian. Praise God for your salvation. We have this also in self-esteem. We want to build people up and encourage them. What does the Bible say we are? We're sinners, the wretched man that I am. Oh, we can't sing that. That's going to hurt somebody's self-esteem. We have this self-esteem movement. We have faith healers. We have the positive thinkers. They come to have their egos fed and their sins approved, not to have their hearts cleansed and their minds and souls and lives saved. They want to feel good, not be good. We're not good, are we? We're made good by Christ and through Christ. Praise the Lord. And so tragically, when we fall away from truth, and we embrace these myths, what happens is now we become insulated from truth. We've become insulated from the gospel. We're over here now and we think that we are okay. And we die thinking that we're okay until the moment that we arrived at our destination and we find out that we weren't okay. And this is what happens when people believe lies. These are the times and these are the styles and this is the fashion. And I'm saying to you that this is contemporary American Americana in the churches today. This is where the church is at in America today. We don't need a revival in America today. Those days are too far over. You can revive that which was already alive. I'm telling you that our churches are dead to start with. We need repentance and salvation today. But this is where our churches are. And I say to you, it is a bubble. These fables and these myths are all bubbles. You've seen these bubbles that the children blow out in the springtime? You know what I'm talking about? What happens to those bubbles? They pop. And God commands here Timothy and every other preacher of His Word to preach the Word faithfully, and reprovingly and patiently and doctrinally, and let it confront the spirit of the age head on. Head on. Preach the word. In season, out of season. Be instant about it. Preach. Let it hit the culture head on. Let the Word of God confront. Folks, the Bible does not need to be revised. I'll say it again. The Bible does not need to be revised. It needs to be reverbalized and reverbalized and reverbalized and reverbalized. And that's what we need. God's church needs to be Savior-pleasing, not people-pleasing. In verses 3 and 4, there's a warning to us not to compromise. Can we become these people? Yes or no? We can become these people. So the verses 3 and 4 are a warning to us not to compromise. And that's the message I want to bring to you today. Look, churches like this are dying by the dozen. They're dying. This is not what the American people want. And so what people do is they get in little boardrooms and they decide, let's do this and let's do that. Let's throw this out. Let's add this in. And they're making decisions that are unbiblical, and they're leading their churches down wrong roads. Yes, it may grow a crowd, but it doesn't grow a congregation. And these decisions are being made every single day. We need to be courageous in the times that we live in. We need to be the voice that's crying out where? In the wilderness. That this is the way to go. This is the path to walk in. And this is truth. Hear it. Receive it, act upon it. Those are the messages we need to get for. Folks, preaching that pleases God and feeds men. That's what God demands. Let us stand for closing invitation. Every eye closed, please, no one looking around. Maybe you're here today and you are a nominal Christian. I don't know, in name only. You can't remember a time in your life where you came to Christ for salvation. Please, every eye closed, looking down, bow our heads. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But you can't remember a time in your life when you came to Christ for salvation. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners. We're all condemned, but Christ loved us and Christ died for us and He shed His blood for the payment of your sins and my sins. And you can cry out to God and say, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. The blood of Christ is the payment of my sins, and I'm accepting that free gift. It is a free gift of salvation. And you, right where you're standing in the simplest of terms, can cry out to God, realizing your sinfulness and realizing that He's the Savior and He's the only Savior, and you can cry out to Him to save you. You could be 6 today or 60 today. And you can have this salvation. You can have this eternal life. You can have Christ as your Savior. Don't trust in your baptism. Don't trust in your church membership. Don't trust in your good works and your good deeds. Trust in Christ. He's the only way. Right where you're standing, you can cry out to God today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be saved by Christ and Christ alone. Through His precious blood on the cross that He paid for your sins. He was buried and He arose again. Would you believe upon Him today? Maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you didn't realize all that's going on out there in the world. And maybe you've been to some different services and you've visited some different churches. And maybe you're not from around here and you've been to other places in the world and you see all the stuff that I'm talking about going on. Maybe you have been influenced by that. Maybe you're even trying to be here and influence this church into some of those ways or some of those practices. Maybe you're thinking about being success-driven and result-driven. Listen, we cannot be success-driven and result-driven and compromise the Word of God. You cannot compromise the Word of God and win. You cannot sin and win. Yes, it's fun. Yes, there may be some short-time goodness that comes out of it, but you and I both know if you build on sinking sand, that it will fall down. So I'm asking you as an individual, how are you doing individually with the preaching of God's truth? Are you hearing it? Are you receiving it? Are you accepting it? Are you changing your life to match up with it? Or are you resisting it, walking away from it, saying ugly things about the preacher of it? What are you saying? How's your life responding? Because people, even in a church, can turn away from truth. I pray that God has spoken to our hearts today. This is a perfect opportunity between you and God Himself. God knows your heart. He knows everything about your life, every thought that you've had. And this is a great opportunity between you and God. If you need salvation, now's the time to cry out between you and the Lord. And if you need to get some things right in your life, confession, repentance, if you need to grasp a whole, embrace truth again, now's the time to run back to God's Word. Run back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Let's go to the Lord in sincere prayer. This is our invitation time between you and the Lord. Let's make some good decisions today. Let us pray quietly and independently. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, you're welcome to do that. But we can pray right where we're standing. God sees us, God knows us, and He hears us. Let us pray quietly and independently. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for the precious blood of Christ and the precious Word. Lord, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in this dark world. Lord, help us to love truth and love and demand the preaching of Your Word. May this pulpit, may this church be a reservoir, a foundation for truth, for truth. And Lord, we pray this in Your precious Son's name, and all of God's people say, Amen.